Good afternoon. The first song will be the same initial song we had this morning, Holy Ground. Mike has selected songs this evening that really encompass not only the holiness of God, but all the different characteristics of God through His majesty, His how we are to exalt Him in all that we do, His power, and all the things that make Him holy, and everything that we do to remember that and how we exalt Him. Number 111. Out of the supplement, Holy Ground.
Oh, this is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground.
Next song will also come out of the supplement. Be song number 15, Exalted. Next two songs will come out of the hymns for worship. First one will be number 1, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Holy, 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 holy. to thee.
Next song will be number 538, Majesty, number 538.
Oh,
55 in our big book. 55.
If you would, let's stand for this song.
He alone is glory, He alone is pride.
meeting are some things that we may have to change in our lives. How to be more like Him. Number 129 in the supplement, be still.
Oh,
Ask you to stand in the place.
Oh, to be like me, blessed Redeemer, is my constant longing and prayer. Let thou forget all other treasures, Jesus, my burden, life is to wear. Oh, to be like me, oh, to be like me, blessed Redeemer,
certainly thankful for your presence this afternoon here at our singing at Westview. We're glad all of you have come, and we invite you at this moment to take your Bible, if you have it with you, and open to the Old Testament, to the book of Numbers, the 20th chapter. Numbers chapter 20. We'll take just a moment of your time before we continue with our service and come to the end of our service to extend an invitation of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all who've come tonight, to those who might need to render obedience to that gospel. Here in Numbers chapter 20, what is recorded for us at the end of the chapter is the death of Aaron. I was watching a documentary here a while back about famous siblings and that had achieved great things in life, and many of them were people who participated in the same activity or the same sport or maybe different sports. I remember watching two of the brothers, for example, that was mentioned in the documentary were Orville and Wilbur Wright, the Wright brothers, and what they did for aviation. The documentary also covered some sports figures, which kind of intrigued my attention. I've always been kind of a big NASCAR fan. Which AJ is a real man sport, not like Frisbee. But anyway, and I noticed in this NASCAR thing, you had the Allison brothers. You had Bobby and Davey Allison, who are Alabama people from Hueytown, Alabama. There was a group of NASCAR drivers back in the 70s and 80s who dominated much of the sport during those days, Bobby being kind of the king of those group of men, but they were called the Alabama Gang. That sounds like a real classy group of people, doesn't it? That's who you want to be around. But two of those part of the Alabama Gang were the Allison brothers, Bobby and Donnie Allison. And so they achieved greatness in the realm of NASCAR and auto racing. Then he talked about Serena and Venus Williams, the great tennis players and tennis stars. So there are a number of people that were on this documentary of siblings who achieved great things. Among those missing in the documentary were Moses and Aaron. But you might be hard pressed to find any two brothers who accomplished more and did more with the Lord's, as far as the Lord's work, or accomplished greatness in this world than these two brothers who were the leaders among the people of Israel during a very trying time during the nations and during leading those people who were murmuring and complaining and a thorn in the side of Moses and Aaron for much of their life. And here in Numbers chapter 20, at the end of the book, records for us the death of Aaron. I want to read this to you, beginning in verse 22 of Numbers chapter 20. It says, "Now the children of Israel who the whole congregation journeyed from Kadesh and came to Mount Hor, and the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the Mount Hor by the border of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered to his people, for he shall not enter the land which I have given to the children of Israel, because you rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son, and bring them up to Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments, and put them on Eleazar his son. For Aaron shall be gathered to his people, and he shall die there. So Moses did just as the Lord commanded. They went up to Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. Moses stripped Aaron of his garments, put them on Eleazar his son, and Aaron died there on top of the mountain. Then Moses and Eleazar came down from the mountain, and now when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, all the house of Israel mourned for Aaron for 30 days. One thing that's interesting to me is I've thought about the number of ways in which the Bible talks about people dying. And even in our English language, there's a number of words or phrases we use sometimes to talk about someone passing from life to death. We might say, you know, so-and-so died, or so-and-so passed away last night. So we might say, if somebody did something stupid, we might say he bought the farm. He wasn't too bright, so he tempted the Lord long enough and he bought the farm. There's all kinds of ways in which we use language sometimes to describe the same event of death. And the Bible does that too. The Bible uses different words at times to describe people dying and leaving this earth. If you go back to Genesis chapter 7, when God destroyed the earth with water, he talked about the living creatures and those who breathed through the nostrils, that they died on the earth. In the next verse it says the Lord destroyed those. So even in the same context of Genesis 7 and the flood, sometimes he says the word that they died. Another phrase he used was to say they were destroyed in the flood. If you go back to Numbers chapter 17, when Aaron's rod budded before the tabernacle and all the host of the congregation of Israel became terrified by that event and what was happening, they cried out to Moses and they said, "We shall perish. We all shall perish." There's a word for you that tries to intimate the idea of one dying in this world, that we're all going to perish. So as you look through the Bible, you'll see different phrases used or translated into English that all talk about the same thing, one dying from this earth. And one thing that was interesting to me in reading this passage of Scripture, that depending on the translation you use, you may have a different translation like the ESV or something like that. One of the more common words used here in Numbers chapter 20 verse 29 is the word perish. So it would read this way, "Now when all the congregation saw that Aaron had perished, all the house of Israel mourned for him for 30 days. Now what's interesting about the word perish, that the Bible uses a lot to describe the activity of dying, is that the word perish in our English language means to become destroyed, to come to ruin, to cease to exist. Well, certainly you could understand why the translators might insert that word to describe the process of one dying. Because it's often the case that when death comes, it is always the case, let me say it this way, when death comes, that it involves the process of this human body, this physical body, this flesh and blood coming to ruin, being destroyed, ceasing to exist. I think about always the words of Job who described that process in Job the 19th chapter, that one day his body would die and he would be buried in the ground. And it describes this idea of something being destroyed and something coming that once was strong and alive coming to be ruined, if you will. He says here in verse 24 of Job 19, he says in verse 23, "Oh, that my words were written, that they were inscribed in a book, that they were engraved upon a rock with an iron pen of lead forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth." Listen to this. "After my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself. My eyes shall behold and not another. How my heart yearns for me." So he talked about his body, his physical body, his skin coming to ruin, being destroyed in the decaying process that takes place when our physical body dies. Now go back to Numbers chapter 20, and let me say this. There's another sense in which the Bible uses the idea of one perishing, or even one dying, and it's not in the physical sense, it's in the spiritual sense. Where we come to ruin, not because our bodies cease to exist or no longer, our hearts no longer beat and our blood no longer pumps, but that we become ruined and destroyed because of sin and evil around us. And there's a sense in which that's exactly what happened to Aaron. If you go back early in Numbers chapter 20, you remember here's the story where the children of Israel were murmuring for the water as they had done before. And here God says to Moses and Aaron, there's a rock, speak to the rock, tell the rock to bring forth water, and I'll water the people. But in their frustration, in Moses' frustration, in Aaron's frustration, dealing with his people, this stiff-necked and murmuring people, that it had brought Moses and Aaron to a point of rebelling against God. And they did. You notice what it says here in verse 8 of Numbers chapter 20, God said to Moses, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes. It will yield its water. And bring the water for them out of the rock and give them drink, the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded. And Moses said, and Moses and Aaron gathered and assembled the people together before the rock. And he said to them, hear ye now, you rebels. Must we bring forth water from this rock? Then Moses lifted his hand, struck the rock twice with his rod. Water came out abundantly, and the congregation and animals drank. Look at verse 12. Then the Lord spake to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. Now, as we read the end of Aaron's life here in Numbers chapter 20, you almost see a picture of a man being put to death, being sentenced to death. That it's not a peaceful moment where God takes him up on the mountain and he lays him to sleep there and says he's worked hard all his life, he's led the people, he's been a faithful servant with his brother Moses, and now I shall deliver him from the hand of these evil Israelites and let him rest. No, he takes him up on the mountain and God says, strip him of his garments. Give them to his son. He will die here and he will not enter the land of Canaan. Why? Because he rebelled against me in the waters of Meribah. And how they rebelled against God is they didn't give God credit for bringing the water. They said, must we fetch water? Me and Aaron. Moses, me and Aaron bringing this water to you. Must we fetch water before you now? And they changed the way God said bring it. God said speak to the rock. They smote the rock. God has his reasons. And he says for this reason, Aaron will die and not enter the land. And Moses will too later. And so the word describing here the idea of Aaron dying is that he perished. But he perished more than just in one sense. And that his body died and it became decayed, certainly through that process. But there's a sense in which Aaron was ruined by the people around him in that moment. And the Bible warns us that we too, spiritually, can be ruined by the people and the world around us. You remember the words of the Apostle Paul as he writes to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that he gives us this exhortation that we be people who are not brought away from God or not led away from God by the evil companions around us. In 1 Corinthians 15, notice what it says in verse 33. You know this passage. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. One of the translations I read says, evil companions ruins good morals. Ruins. Brings you to ruin. Well, in a real sense, Aaron was ruined by the influence of those people around him who murmured and complained all the time. He and Moses, in a moment of weakness, rebelled against God and paid a price for that. Here's the good news for you and I, and even I believe for Moses, is that all of us will endure a kind of perishing that is unavoidable. Vance quoted Hebrews 9 this morning that says, it's appointed unto a man once to die. There is no one going to escape that appointment. And in that sense, all of us are going to come to that place that Job was describing in Job 19, that our bodies are laid in the earth, and that the earth begins to decay our bodies, and our bodies begin to become destroyed. After my skin is destroyed, he said, one day I shall see God. Well, you can too. And there's a real sense in which you will never perish or be destroyed. And that is that Christ Jesus is your Savior and your Lord. I want to leave you with some final words from the writings of Peter. who spoke indeed about the process of us being people who indeed are understand that we're going to die, and our life ultimately one day will end, and we will not certainly continue forever. And he said this, is that the Lord is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. And we know God is not saying there that I'm not willing any man would die physically, because we're all going to. He's already promised that. The perishing the Lord is talking about there is the idea of us perishing, I believe, spiritually. Not willing that any man, God, your God that you serve, is a God who wants no one to come to be ruined spiritually. And I'm so thankful that that's the God that we serve. And the way God made it possible, only possible, for that to never happen to you, is if Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord. And if tonight He's not, then we're sorry for you. And we plead with you to come to Jesus and come to God in repentance and obedience to His will. Won't you do that while we stand and sing?
Yeah.